Do you want us to keep producing the best VCU men's basketball podcast out there? If so, there's a way you can help. If you enjoy this show, please consider donating to help us pay for the cost of making it available. You can do so by using the PayPal link in the description of the podcast or on social media sites where we post it. Even a small donation would help. Thanks in advance, and go Rams! Welcome to Rams Rewind, a podcast that looks back at all of the action from VCU men's basketball. After each game, our host George Templeton talks live on Facebook with Ram fans and gives his take on the team's performance. And now, here's George.
You could almost take a loss like this, except VCU let the same things that have beat them all year beat them again. So in a lot of respects, this loss is even more infuriating and frustrating than the others. Welcome to Rams Rewind, live here in the Good and the Bad and the Ugly group, and out there in podcast land. If you like what you hear and you want to help us out like our good friend Nicole Eller did, thank you, Nicole Eller, for doing that. You can shoot us some dinero. There is a link to the description in the PayPal, in the description on Podbean and your other podcast platforms. And VCU falls 57-51. And it's so many things. It's so many different things. You know, everybody, I mean, I'm seeing in the comments, Bairstow and Shulga didn't give us anything, this and that, and that's all that's true. All of that's true. But this starts with VCU playing stupid basketball, reverting back to bad habits that they have done before. And if you want to know why some of us criticize the coaches, whoever they are, because again, this isn't just new. This isn't just this coach. These kinds of things we've seen over several years. And you can distill it down to two things that I talked about yesterday when I did the St. Joe's pod. I said, I don't know who I want to play. I don't know necessarily who's the better matchup. I just don't know if we're going to be smart enough and we're going to be tough enough. And ultimately, that was the difference. We weren't either of those things. We weren't tough enough. How do I know? Duquesne, 18 offensive rebounds. VCU, 8. And yes, VCU caught up in second chance points, 11-9. But they were down 9-0, and that's why they were down 36-22 in the first half and dug themselves the hole they did. Was there softness, Josh Borum? Yes, there was. And, you know, Christian Furman had some good moments out there, had some blocks. But Christian Furman, you have to be stronger in holding on to and grabbing for the basketball. If that guy doesn't do some serious work in the gym, he's not going to be a better player than what he is. And he needs to. So there were offensive rebounds on that hurt them. In particular, one that I remember where he just simply didn't grab the ball. Duquesne got it, and it ended in a Nekas three. Guys getting out-hustled on the defensive board. If I saw it once, I saw it 6 or 7 times. And the thing is, that was taking time off the clock, time that we couldn't take to score and get closer in this game. Ugh. Then you have some of the just ridiculous defensive breakdowns. And when they did the little interview with Odom at the start, at the under 4, at the under 16 in the first half, I thought, okay, maybe we're going to stop doing it. But we didn't. Bamisil, who had a great game on offense. Shulga, Zeb, you're helping down on guys where it makes no sense. Mahorčić, Drame, Dixon, none of these guys are the kind of players that you should be doubling. And you especially should be doubling in such a way that they don't end up with a turnover. And yet we saw it happen a time and again. And quite frankly, without those mistakes, Trey Clark and Day-Day Grant wouldn't have had hardly anything. A lot of their between them, they were 5 for 27. If you had told me before the game that Grant and Clark would be 5 for 27, I'd have said VCU was going to win by double digits. But what they did get were open looks that came off of bad defensive decision-making by VCU. Duquesne was 7 of 14 in the first half from three. And then most of those shots were open looks because guys are doubling down and hedging off. Bairstow was an offender in this too. But seriously, and then you go, and then in the second half you stopped them, but what's the big play of the game? With a minute left after VCU's cut it to one, let's go to that play-by-play. What was it? Let me clear it here. Clear the plays out. 50, they cut it down to, where is it? Hold on a minute. Oh, they only do the recent plays. God bless it. But the big play of the game in the second half, VCU's clawing and clawing and clawing their way back in this game. Joe Bamisil makes the two free throws to cut it to one. Duquesne's got the ball. VCU's playing good defense. Clark is, there's a switch, and Toby is on Clark, and Toby is staying right with him. Joe Bamisil goes to help Toby. There's no reason to do it. And he leaves Jake DeMichele open, and Jake DeMichele makes a layup at the shot clock buzzer. Ouch! And then that's followed with a bad three-pointer that was unnecessary. Or no, excuse me, that was followed by Max Shulga missing a turnaround fadeaway jumper. And we're done there. And we're done from there. People are gonna look at Joe Bamisil and say, what a great game. But Joe Bamisil made some critical defensive errors that hurt this team badly. And that is something he's gonna have to work on since he's coming back. He's gonna have to be a better defender. He's gonna have to be a smarter player. Jason Nelson was in a slump. He had a lot of good moments for us this season. He only played 3 minutes. He took a three that he shouldn't have taken. This team taking these threes, everybody, seriously. You got to the double bonus with 7:11 to go. 7:11 to go, and you only draw one more foul. That's not smart basketball. That's not doing the things to win. VCU was 10 of 12 from the foul line in the second half. The problem is it was only chip 12. Doug Hines, they didn't lose because Shogun Bairstow got a lack of shots. Shogun Bairstow did nothing this whole damn game. And that's the other thing. Let's give dadgum Duquesne's defense some credit. Who do you think was guarding Shulga most of this game? Who do you think was guarding Shulga? It's Trey Clark. So look, they got to find a better – and look, they won a game against Massachusetts with no baskets from Max Shulga, but he got 7 assists. And he was just – I mean, that wasn't happening today. They didn't get the assists like they need, you know. And frankly – and that's the other thing. Shulga and Bairstow – and probably Jackson, too, all played too many minutes for me. Yeah, and somebody else pointed out, Bamisil 0 for 8 from 3. After them first two or three three-pointers, Bamisil should have been driving every time. The only time he didn't and made one was the one in the corner where, unfortunately, his foot was on the line, which was a big play in the game, that was ruled a 3 and then immediately changed to a 2. Because who knows how that game plays out if they tie the game at 49 points. Instead of that, Bairstow's definitely not coming back. Shulga's a maybe. He's going to test the draft waters. But look, this team, 9 assists in the game, 9 assists on 17 made field goals, and that's just not enough. That is just not enough. Maybe, Bruce, but you don't know that. You don't know we would have been one and done in the tourney. You don't know that. We might have had momentum. We might have got the right matchup. We might have got to play in Brooklyn again. But we won't know now. We will not know now. And what a team effort from frickin' Duquesne. Give them credit. They played eight guys. That's the other thing. We didn't use our depth at all. Jason Nelson only got 3 minutes. I don't understand that. He's just a terrible end of the season for him. Hopefully a good offseason, and he'll be ready to go next year. But Michael Bell needed to play more. He only played 4 minutes out there, and I know we're struggling on offense anyway, but until the second half, offense was not the problem, defense was. Yes, Fats is on the team. No, we didn't use him. Yes, I would have preferred we use him more. But that's the way it is. But my goodness, look at this. Duquesne wins. All their eight players scored. Everywhere, the range was from 5 to 10 points. Day-Day Grant was the only guy in double figures. And Day-Day Grant, who never misses a free throw, misses two free throws, excuse me, and gives us a chance. Yeah, I'm not happy with Brian Odom's rotations. Kawani needed to play more than he did today. I'm not understanding Kawani only getting 13 minutes. Because, again, you could have used Kawani to give Bairstow or Shulga more rest than you gave him. You could have even used Kawani to give Furman and Lawal a little bit of a break. Yeah, no, and I sort of touched it, Mitch, but I'll do it again just for you. That is the other big stat in this game. 17 field goals, 16 turnovers. You had Duquesne go scoreless for nearly 6 minutes, and you didn't make any more progress than you did because you kept turning the dang ball over. These guards, you're up against Trey Clark. You just played him less than 2 weeks ago. You have no idea what's going on, you should know that Trey Clark is one of the best players in this league at getting his hands in there. So for God's sakes, pay more attention to your dribble, VCU guards. Nope. Shulga, Bairstow, Jackson, time and again was getting the ball poked away from them because they don't know that either that they don't have any idea that Clark is behind them. So that's two things. Their lack of awareness and their teammates not telling them. And it's brutal. 16 turnovers, Jackson and Shulga had seven of them, nearly half. Bairstow only had one, which kind of surprises me. Lawal had three, that's no surprise. Bamisil had two, and he had one of those two where he's dribbling, he gets knocked off. Well, I'll tell you this, Darren Grimes. We all expected a really good Odom offense because of what happened in Utah State, and it was not in evidence this year. We'll see what happens next year. And we'll see what happens in the NIT if we get in there. Hopefully we do. But that's really it, and that's it, Doug Hines. Not just a higher IQ on the floor, but learning from your mistakes. And that's what makes this loss so hard to take. Is that once again, we make the same stinking mistakes. We don't get defensive rebounds because we are not hard enough at it in terms of boxing out and getting it. We are not rebounding as a team. We give up open threes to really good shooters because we're trying things that make no sense at all. Zero. And you give up shots. And again, that's the amazing thing, is that go to the first half. Grant is 3 for 7. Clark's 1 for 7. Go to the second half. Clark's 1 for 10. Grant is 0 for 5. So quite literally, almost all the shots they made were wide open shots in the first half. And when they were actually properly guarded, they did nothing. And we still couldn't win. We still couldn't win. We could only manage 51 points because we turned it over so many times, because we were so inefficient with the ball, because we continued to take three-pointers that weren't going in. And yes, I know some of them threes did get us close in the second half, but when you have got the double bonus, with 7 minutes left in the game, you have the opportunity to score with this clock stopped, which helps you in a comeback. It also allows you to rest a few seconds while you stand there and take a shot. But this team wouldn't do it. This team wouldn't drive. This team wouldn't attack the basket. And I'll be honest, I'm not sure I blame the coach for that. I think these players weren't smart enough. And that's what this comes down to. You got to play smart. And you know what? If you're not going to play smart on one end, you got to make up for it on the other end. Trey Clark was terrible. He was 2 for 17. But he made defensive plays. And he made his free throws. And that was the difference. Trey Clark's got freaking 4 steals. And 3 assists. And he makes 4 out of 4 from the line. And he has 5 rebounds. So Trey Clark could have shot him out of this game. But at the very least, he did something else. And he's a former VCU player. And he's 3-0 against us. And that's the best revenge of all for him. So I don't know what happened. I've heard rumors of this and that and the other. All I know is he had it in for us. The rest of the team at Duquesne took that cue from him, and they played as hard and as tough as they had to win. And they were the tougher team, and they were the smarter team, and that sucks. Because in a lot of respects, VCU was the better team. Remember, Duquesne started out this first and second half 2 for 20. VCU played great defense after halftime. The problem was they left themselves too far in the hole in one respect, and then when they got close, they made just enough bad plays and bad decisions to lose. Is anyone else left from here from VCU that was here when he was here? Not after this year, I don't think. Bruce, the reason I say we were the better – okay, maybe I should amend that statement. We were the more talented team. We at times were the more skillful team. We weren't the better team because we didn't win. So I'll cede that point to you. I'll cede that point to you. But we mainly didn't win because we weren't smart enough and we weren't tough enough. And we didn't use all – and I'll continue to say it. We didn't use all the tools in our toolbox. I never like games where Michael Bell gets so few minutes because defensively he's a weapon. And yes, there are questions on offense, but I want him out there because he's going to do the team thing most of the time. And some of these other guys don't. And Kawani playing only 13 minutes. I'm not a fan of that, especially as, you know, he makes a three. One of the only times that we actually ran proper offense, drive in. But kick out by, I think it was Bamisil, 3. It's like, wow, that was great. Let's do more of that. Nope. No more of that. We're just going to jack it up. So you get Bamisil 0 for 8 and Jackson 3 for 8 and Shulga 1 for 5. Jeez. We gave possessions away. Gave them away against a great defensive team. We played into Duquesne's hands. And we did it from almost minute one. So you couldn't sit here at 36-18 and say VCU didn't deserve to be down that much. You couldn't. Ugh. It'll drive me crazy. I'll be thinking about so many of those possessions. And then the real killer, freaking Bamisil going in and out on that three. When I think that would have cut it, I think that would have tied the game. And Nekas comes down there. And the only time in the second half that we don't get around a screen, he nails a three and it's 6. That's really the set of plays that did us in when it comes right down to it. What time of the game was that? Because we're close. We're finally getting close. And let's see here. When was that? When did we get the frickin' miss? I'm trying to find it. I gotta find the neck. Okay. Oh yeah, that's what it was. Okay, so it was not that. It was 46-41 Duquesne, and Joe Bamisil has that three go around the cup, in and out. That was actually a great shot and a great offensive set. and it goes in and out and around and out, and Nekas comes down and hits the three, and that makes it 49-41, and that was pretty much it for us. Pretty much it. Okay, so let's, now that we've done that and we've congratulated Duquesne, let's talk about what's next here. I think NIT John O'Neill, honestly, I think it should. We've got big conference teams who are thankfully denying the invitations they would expect to get. So let me see. Well, that's not what I wanted. Damn it. I'm trying to find the damn net ranking so I can see where we're at net wise. And of course it goes right to the bracket challenge. Damn it. 1 second. I'm gonna look this up. Net rankings. There we go. Net rankings NCAA. All right. 1 second. 1 second. We're gonna do this. Okay, so hold on 1 second, because I want to see where we are in the net coming into the day. Oops, that's not the right button either. Ugh. It's just not, it's like VCU. This is, I think, I'm not going to agree with that, and here's why, Mitch McGuire. You can get your players that are coming back more time and more practices and more work. By the way, VCU was 69 in the net coming into the day, so I would think that VCU is very likely for the NIT unless they deny it. I would think that. I would think VCU, Richmond at 73, maybe Loyola Chicago at 85, all are a chance. But no, you're wrong. And here's why you're wrong, Bruce and Mitch. You can build a platform to success for the next year. Yeah, Bairstow's not back and Kewanee's not back and maybe Shulga's not back. I don't know. We'll see. But you have opportunities for extra practices, extra work, and an extra chance to play games and build for next year. What tournament, since you're all so confident these tournaments don't matter, what tournament did VCU play in 2010? Thank you, Mike Urbanski. You were right on the same wavelength as I was. In 2010, VCU played in and won the CBI. Oh, it's so embarrassing to be the CBI. And the next year, they went to the Final Four. Playing in postseason and getting more experience always helps. It always means something. Look, Duquesne played in the CBI last year. Don't tell me that didn't help them in this tournament. Don't tell me that didn't help them. It absolutely did. And John O'Neill, I can't agree with you about 4 games in 5 days, because Duquesne had the same 4 games in 5 days. You know, they had the same deal. They had the same deal. So, no, I don't want the season to be over. I don't. I want VCU to keep playing. Listen, how much fun for VCU fans do you think it would be to go to Vegas for the NIT if they got that far? I think of quite a few VCU fans. I think some of the VCU fans either watching this video or listening right now will say that. So I hope they get an invitation of some kind. But I wanted to be in the big dance because that matters. That matters. And they had an opportunity. And Duquesne gave them every chance and they wouldn't take it. So that's the part that sucks. So this is the plan. We're going to see what happens later tonight. We're going to see if VCU gets into the NIT, CBI, whatever. And depending on who the first opponent is, we may even try to have a pod previewing that game. But we'll see about what's going on from there. And then after that, depending on when this season over, then we can talk about the transfer portal and all that other stuff. I don't even want to think about it right now because at least as of this moment, the season is not over yet. So I want to thank everybody in the live video for your comments. As always, I really appreciate that. If you're not a part of the VCU Boot and the Bad and the Ugly group, you should be. Not only the game threads fire, but even in the basketball offseason, we will be keeping track of our other teams. For instance, the VCU baseball team is in one hell of a humdinger. Down at the Diamond, it's 11-11 with Princeton in the seventh as they're going for a four-game sweep. And we will keep track of VCU because it looks like they're going to have a pretty good team in baseball this year and our other sports as well. We will, of course, have our little beady eyes on the offseason when it comes and all of that. And, you know, last year, and, you know, who knows how many of them will there be this year. But we do a series in the offseason about the new players that come in. And, you know, that's something we're pretty proud of over here at Rams Rewind. So there will be more. Don't worry about that, whatever happens. And if somehow the season is over, we're probably going to do a season wrap-up pod. And that'll be the plan there. So I want to thank everybody for watching and listening and commenting. I really appreciate it. And you know what? Hopefully we got a few more of these to go in terms of recaps because VCU's playing in one of these postseason tournaments and has a nice little run that we can take to the next season. Thank you all for listening. Thank you all for commenting. Talk to you guys later.
To submit a question for George to answer in an upcoming episode or to inquire about sponsorship opportunities for this podcast, please email ramsrewind@gmail.com. We'll be back after the next game, and thanks for listening to this episode of Rams Rewind.